This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Hello listeners and welcome to the special episode of Sherm on Air with me, Archana Jarrad. We all know that remote work is on the rise and it is here to stay, which means that we need to essentially relook at every way that we ensure the physical and mental well-being of our people. So today, Sherm and Rento Mojo are bringing you this special podcast focusing on the rise of the remote workforce, managing employee well-being. I'm joined by Ketan Krishna, Head People Function at Rento Mojo. He is also a coach and author. Also with me today is Gautam Ghosh, who is a social media influencer. Ketan and Gautam, welcome to Sherm Radio.
Happy to be here, Archana.
Thank you, Archana. Thank you, Gautam.
So, Ketan, let my first question be to you. As an HR leader and as, you know, part of the Rento Mojo leadership team, organizations are transitioning to long-term remote working. Employee well-being, of course, has become a key focus more than ever before, not just because of the pandemic, but because of the way that we work today. So what are some shifts that you would recommend for organizations when designing well-being programs that are particularly suitable to remote work?
Well, I thought the tough question was supposed to come at the end, but glad that you spoke about that, Archana. And I'll share from whatever experience that I had in context of the organization and the people that I've been speaking to, and of course, a lot of valuable webinars that I've attended. Now, at least what happened in our case at Rento Mojo, if you remember when the first lockdown happened somewhere in March, there was a lot of excitement. There was a lot of happiness because, and to be honest, when I'm in Bangalore right now, in a place like Bangalore, when you don't have to travel, I think it was a blessing. So initial few days were very, very happy, excited. Everything about engagement and connect that we were trying to do was working as it is. Nothing was possibly falling between the cracks because we all mentally assumed that this is a 15-20 day thing and the world will come back to normal. Now came the phase two when the lockdown got extended. I think some worry started to happen. We started to figure out how do we operationally be running and how do we take care of people. And what I realized is, during that time is when people were like discomfort started to creep in because they were locked at homes, no places to go, could not physically meet people. And because we are social beings, I think for the first time I realized, and a lot of people realized, that how important offices are. While there are days when we crib about going to office, but I think the value of office suddenly shot up because we started to realize how important that social construct was. A few things we tried worked, didn't work. We were trying to grapple with the challenge, but I think that went over. At least I was hopeful and a lot of us were hopeful that it will get over soon. And then the third phase, which is actually the acceptance phase, saying that this is going to be a reality. That's when I realized, when I started to speak to people, a lot of challenges started to creep in. And on a lighter note, actually a lot of people started to show competences of a Spider-Man because they were literally all in at all places in their homes trying to find a place to work. Our homes, our houses were never ever constructed or set up for something like this. And for us, because we have a huge millennial generation which has been working and the Gen Zs, this was a challenge. Now, one thing that we realized, and when we started to speak to employees, of course, what we realized, Archana, is that we can't change their houses or the structure there, but we definitely can take a step in redesigning the interiors, which actually would make the work from home comfortable. And because we've been into this space, fortunately, we were able to get a table, chair and a bookshelf delivered to each and every employee who is supposed to work from home. We announced a work from home till the end of December, at least for the central functions. And we provided this infrastructure. The experience and the mood suddenly shot up. And I'm not going to get into productivity and all. I'm not even saying productivity shot up or not. But personally, when I received my bunch of stuff, once the lockdown got over, I was very comfortable with my space now and I started enjoying the work. So it was physically easier. And I know world is talking about, will people will be more productive, less productive. I'm not even getting there. But I was happier. I was far more comfortable. I had a space of my own. And if you look at the basically three things that remote working needs for somebody to enable a work, you need a system or a laptop or a desktop. Second, you need connectivity through internet and broadband. And third, you need an infrastructure. We were glad that we were able to solve this for the first, which is the systems and the workstations and the infrastructure, mostly on this one. Surprisingly, we also saw a huge surge in the search volume from work from home. And work from home, which used to be like a category which was hardly less than 5% earlier, started running as high as 30-40% as a category that is moving right now. So, which means people are finding this as a challenge. We have also partnering with organizations to try to solve for this. I'll come talk about that later. But yeah, broadly, this is how I saw, at least on the physical infra. Mental well-being, again, a very important piece. We've tried few things. We have a long way to go. But honestly, I don't think so. There are easy answers. People are responding differently. 30-35% of people have gone to their hometown. So we have a saying that work from home has become work from hometown. That's a new reality right now. And that's a shift that we saw, because socially people didn't have anybody. So they, and an opportunity, they went back to their hometowns and they're working. Now that's also an important piece we are enabling. Again, we were not prepared to ensure infra, data security, information, laptop system support to employees in their hometown. But we are now bending the rules to figure out how do we do that. Mental well-being, there are a few things we are thinking of. Of course, what we did at the core was increase the communication by at least 20-30 times between the manager and the team members. Honestly, my conversation with my manager started to run at a 10x level vis-a-vis what used to be in the office, and similarly with my team and my colleagues. So these are broadly two broad shifts that I saw and I think is going to be important for organizations to solve for.
Very interesting. And not that my takeaway is that, but yeah, Spider-Man like qualities is something that people are trying to learn to fit themselves in that homes, and the networks that you talked about. So Gautam, other than the Spider-Man qualities that we should all be learning, and you are one of the most networked people that I know, what do you foresee from your conversations as the two top most challenges or benefits of long-term remote work, especially from the perspective of employee well-being and engagement?
So yeah, I think the two biggest challenges that I find both at the organizational team as well as the individual level is getting repurposing while working at home, but with processes and systems which are designed for office work, and a lot of people are struggling with it. The increase in communication has also meant increase in time spent in actually doing the work also. So while commute is kind of reduced, but the overall time, the extra time people are now using in communication, in virtual meetings, has meant that actual time in doing the work also is delivering of actually doing the work and delivering the work itself has also increased by that amount. So those are the two big challenges. The positive side of well-being and engagement is essentially the avoidance of commute, which used to take a very heavy toll on emotionally when people would get stuck in traffic heading towards office. I think that's the thing. And the other thing is increased time with family, when people can now have lunch with family during the work day. I think that's the two biggest positives for me.
Great. Thank you for putting that so beautifully, Gautam. And Gautam and Ketan, we'll carry on this conversation right after this very short break. Stay with us.
You are listening to Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India Inc.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Sherm On Air. I'm Archana Jarrath, and with me are Ketan Krishna, Head People Function, Rento Mojo, and Gautam Ghosh, Social Media Influencer. So Ketan, the next question is for you, and it's around the fact that Gautam talked about the fact that our infrastructure has always been around working from offices. But now with long-term remote work becoming a reality, or at least the short-term, the trends for home offices is also increasing. And COVID is, of course, you know, accelerating this entire process. So what should be an ideal and effective home office infrastructure?
Pick up from one where I left in the last question, saying that we saw a huge surge in the search volume for work from home infra, and from of course where Gautam left. Now, a softer thing, my point of view, my sense is, and I'm telling you from my personal experience and a lot of people that I speak to, this flexi mode will continue to be a reality. I think this is going to continue for very, very long time, where it would be a hybrid model that people would work upon. Second, there were companies which actually had a work from home structure earlier, or people like Gautam who started on their own, were aware of what it takes to do it. Now, having said that, for me at least, fortunately, when this lockdown happened, I had vacations of my kids, so I had something at least to use. A lot of people didn't. In terms of infrastructure, and I've spoken to about 200 people that I know in the network, because when we solved it for our employees, that's when we said, why don't we take it to larger organization? So some common and prominent things that are coming across again and again is availability of a system, which could be in form of laptop or data or a desktop with UPS and here and there. And of course, electricity supply then becomes an important factor in certain of the places. The second is the entire internet and the internet infrastructure. So I know companies are working on the data security is an important part. So companies are looking at far more advanced way of how they can still remotely manage and impact the data nodes that the employees are connected to and facilitate that. And third is this standard minimalistic, at least a table and a chair, which is comfortable, where you can sit for at least 8 to 12 hours. Now, I'm calling 8 to 12 hours because, again, if you look at recent research, the overall time people are spending on work has also shot up. I don't know if you guys have realized it personally, but it had to happen with me and a lot of people that I spoke, because one, certain set of people didn't have much to do. Second, work suddenly, because we were trying to solve a lot of first-time problems, the work demands were very, very high, which is kind of settling now. But with these two, pieces, these are the three critical things that we need. A lot of companies that I spoke to, my colleagues or folks from HR function or business, now they've actually started seeing work from home infra also almost like a plug and play device. So if you can, what companies are doing is introducing a partner like a telecom service provider and say, I've tied up with company, you take it and then we will take care of it from a reimbursement point. Similarly, they're seeing, is there a flexible option to manage this comfort for employees at their home? Because again, companies are not capable and built up of this administration of delivering these units at the houses of employees. What do you do when employee leaves, resigns, joins, relocates, moves, transfers? It's a nightmare. Now, that's where actually the product or a solution of ours came handy, because this is what we have been doing mostly. So this is in overall how I see and what I'm seeing as the shift in the trend. And this is core, it has three biggest element, if you ask me, of what I mean from when it comes to work from home infrastructure, in my point of view, Archana.
No, very true, Ketan. Very, shifts that maybe don't seem on the surface to be there, but these are very practical and very important aspects. And like you very rightly said, we are not geared up, at least traditionally, to be, you know, remote working organizations, or in the longer term, it's always been a small aspect, or as Gautam was mentioning, it's fairly nascent, but we know that it's here to stay in some form or the other for us. So there are a lot of changes in the way that we do things day to day that have to change as well. And Gautam, you know, on a practical or, you know, at a on a ground level, the whole piece of communication and understanding these challenges is also a very important aspect of what HR and the organization does. So what are ways that that whole area can be improved?
So I think the big struggle at both from what employees are facing is there are too many meetings, and the organizations therefore have to figure out which meeting can be, should be synchronous and which kind of discussion could be asynchronous. And online meetings have the different challenges. Some are which are like live meetings. Some people will not speak up. Some people are not prepared. So how do we move a lot of these discussions, which is asynchronous? How do we probably move them onto a shared document where people can, you know, if it's ideation that you want, do you really need a live meeting for that? So I think HR and Wes as a business needs to figure out, should it be, could it be just an email discussion thread? Do we really need to ask 10, 15 people to sign on to a you know, video conference all the time, and then only 5 of them speak? The whole challenges of offline meetings are getting kind of exacerbated online also. The other big challenges is we have never equipped our managers to deal with the situation. The managers are the critical fulcrum when it comes to the individual employee is only interacting with his or her manager. The managers have never been skilled to understand or know how to manage remote workforces. They are a lot of one of the other big challenges for learning and development, especially, is how do you educate and skill managers on how to manage a distributed and remote workforce? Because you don't know whether that person is not communicating because he has a infrastructure issue, or whether he or she is sulking or demotivated. So the offline, you could observe a person and, you know what he or she is feeling. But now, as a manager, you've got to do different things to actually understand where your people reporting to you are. So I think getting managers skilled enough to manage a distributed workforce is going to be one of the key tasks for HR, and especially learning and development.
Ketan, anything you would like to add to what Gautam was saying, you know, from your own experience as an HR leader, or, you know, from an organization perspective?
So one thing definitely, which I'll pick up and add to what Gautam said, is super important, is about the managers. I was having a chat with somebody, and very beautifully the person said that there is a kind of the trust that the managers, a lot of managers had to trust people now, which historically has not been easy. It has pushed them to a different level. I think reskilling, telling them it's okay, they're also struggling, because this is first time, this is a problem which managers struggle as much as an employee does, as much everybody, because a lot of these things are absolutely, absolutely new. And managers are a very, very important piece in the entire machinery. They are the one who are speaking and supposed to speak to employees day in, day out, and then have a sense of what's happening. And what Gautam said is about this feeling of when you're meeting somebody, you can sense few things. You can feel few things. The person is happy, not happy. There's something bothering. That is suddenly gone. That is suddenly limited between this 14-inch monitor that most of us are using. And it's very difficult to get that sense. That is a very, very important skill that most of us would have to pick up. The body language has a new definition. It's not about how you physically see somebody, but through a screen. And there's a layer technically getting added to that translation. So that's going to be a very important piece to be looked at for employees, for managers, for organization. And that can actually, if you ask me, I'm with Gautam, can make or break things if not dealt in the way it is supposed to be. So that's a crucial one. And you remember I said about communication. Now, communication is right now mostly happening through managers. The entire line and the chain of command suddenly is far more active, at least in terms of the information flow. The org design suddenly seems to be tested here, because if your information still is flowing, which means your designs were nimble and flexible and was helping you communicate to the last person. But if it is broken down, probably time to revisit and see if it is a design issue or the manager needs to be upskilled or reskilled to ensure that the communication goes down. But Gautam, thank you for calling that out. That's like super amazing. And I'm just piggy bank on that. I'm just riding on that to take this point, saying that that's a very important piece in the puzzle to be taken care of.
Oh, very true, Ketan. I think, trust is so important. And I think in remote work, if that trust is not there between managers and their teams or within teams, I think it's a model that will never succeed. And this will at least help us all, create that, sort of level of trust amongst ourselves. And managers have to learn to cut the umbilical cord on a lighter note. So thank you, both of you, for that particular perspective.
Yeah, I think it will also impact which kind of leaders we promote, what kind of leaders we assess also. This will also, we'll have to go back to the drawing board and figure out what skills do we need our future leaders to have if we're going to go long-term remote work.
Thank you so much for that, Gautam. And, we're absolutely out of time, but it's been such a pleasure speaking to both of you. Thank you, Ketan. And thank you, Gautam. On a lighter note, in my personal experience, I do not miss the traffic at all. But I think network frustration has replaced traffic frustration for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
there was a saying, somebody said, these things keep on floating on WhatsApp and all, saying that network failure is the new I'm stuck in traffic these days. So that's how it has got redefined for a lot of us. But this is going to be interesting. A lot of learnings for all of us, a new way of working. And it's going to be fun.
Absolutely. And I think, we will all learn as leaders and as managers, as an employee and employees and organizations. So look forward to that. Thank you, Ketan and Gautam, for this wonderful conversation and your insights on the rise of remote workforce and what managing employee well-being in this situation is. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this special episode brought to you by Rento Mojo on the rise of remote workforce managing employee well-being in partnership with Timber Media Podcasters. Stay tuned for the next episode of Sherm On Air.
This is Sherm Radio in partnership with Timber Media, podcasters for India, Inc.